Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's almost time to start getting serious about college football.
It is.
When the media day comes in, it's time to start taking stock of what's going on. And Barrett Salee was out there for SEC media day. Myriad stories within the best conference in the land. Sorry, Big Ten fans, tap them. Still the SEC. And we're joined by Barrett, CBS Sports college football writer with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Barrett, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm good, boys. Just sitting here in the circus in Hoover, Alabama, known as SEC Media Day.
Yeah.
The rite of summer, so to speak.
Yeah, love exactly. It's all week, right? You have two couple teams every day all week. And one of the more interesting ones that I heard, because we ask this question all the time in the SEC, is why can't LSU get a quarterback or an offensive scheme that's commensurate with everything else that's happening in the SEC? And I just read this article about Joe Brady, who's with the Saints. He came over and did like a seminar or something, and they loved him. Ed Orgeron decided to hire him. Are we going to see a different LSU team this year?
Well, I'd love to tell you yes, but probably not. But for the first time in a long time, and I've been as cynical on LSU as anybody over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
This is the first offseason where I think they might actually consider potentially trying to at least incorporate a little bit of creativity into that offense.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they like Joe Brady. We talked to all the LSU guys yesterday. Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron specifically were really high on the creativity, not really just because he was with the Saints, although that certainly does help. But the fact that he's 28 years old, the fact that he can relate to some of these kids, the fact that he, in a sense, was one of these kids not too long ago. So he kind of grew up with the football, you know, the new age of football. Like that's all he knows, as opposed to, you know, 40, 50-year-old offensive coordinators who remember the good old days. So they're confident that he is going to be the magic elixir. With that said, they had hired creative offensive coordinators in the past. Joe Brady does not have the ultimate call in the play. Steve Ensminger is the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And Ed Orgeron and Les Miles both tend to put their hands on that offense and get a little too conservative when maybe they shouldn't. So I think it's fair to be in I'll believe it when I see it mode with LSU. But like I said, over the last 6-7 years, if there was a time where – I was more inclined to believe it than others, this would be one of those years. Although, again, I want to see it, especially week two against Texas.
Yeah, that sounds like my sentiments as well, Baird.
Obviously want to jump around, cherry pick a couple of the stories here. You know, last year, 10 wins, 5-3 in the East, second. Kentucky, you know, a couple of kids drafted for sure, one very high, and a bunch of, I mean, just, they show progress. I mean, they're really coming along. Is last year represent the, or I should say, will this year represent the continued direction of Kentucky, or is this a big step back? Because it always seems like when they have the occasional pop, it's met by regression. Where's Kentucky going in right now?
Well, I think regression is likely. And, you know, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, you almost expect that a little bit, just because, you know, sustaining 10 wins every year, that's not something that happens, you know, overnight, especially for a program like Kentucky. Taking a step back, I think still might be acceptable, especially when you consider that, you know, you lost a generational type defensive player, in Josh Allen. So, it's one of those things for Kentucky where, if they go back to a 7 or an 8 win team, think about that for a second. They've improved every single year under Mark Stoops, or at least stayed the same every single year under Mark Stoops. And if you regress to a middle tier bowl team, if you're Kentucky, you'll take that any day of the week. So defensively, the defense sort of drove the bus last year. That probably will not be the case this year. They're going to need a bigger year at Terry Wilson. They're going to need to figure out the running back core. They're going to need to figure out how to kickstart this offense, because it really wasn't that good last year. And so A regression back, I think, is probably in the cards, but it won't be a big step back. And if you're Kentucky, that's a really good sign that Mark Stoops has things going in the right direction.
Yep, raising the bar. Barrett Salee, obviously SEC Media Week is all the rage. It's a lot of stories, a lot of cherry picking to do here. We're bouncing around. He's with us here, CBS Sports college football writer on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Barrett, we know the East is likely to be Georgia. The West will be Alabama. We'll get back to them in a second. But Kelly Bryant, who is of Clemson fame, transferred to Missouri. Are we going to see a lift from any specific team? We'll start with Missouri, but any of these other teams in a threat to come up the standing, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still Florida. I mean, they went to an English Six bowl game last year, and Dan Mullen's a great coach. He's proven it at Mississippi State that he can take one of the, you know, cellar dwellers of the SEC and not only lead them to success, but they were number one in the country in the first ever college football playoff bowl. So that's little old Mississippi State. This is big old Florida. And, you know, so I think he knows how to win there. He's won a national championship as the coordinator. So he understands what it takes. His offense has clearly worked. He's got an established quarterback in Felipe Franks who closed last season extremely strong. And he's got a recruiting base that he, you know, can take advantage of. So I think the problem with any team catching Georgia right now is that Georgia's still going up and is almost at that level as Clemson and Alabama. So if Georgia's still going up and Florida still improves, Florida still might be falling behind Georgia a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I think it still can be Florida, but they have to have a couple of things really go their way, specifically the offensive line. You know, they lose four starters. That was a big part of Felipe Franks' success last year, late last season. So that offensive line better get right, because in week zero, that Miami defensive front's looming, and that's no joke.
All right, let's get to a hot seat, and Gus Malzahn here. I know the president who gave him the big buyout is gone, and I believe that he was really the only true ardent supporter of Malzahn. Most people wanted him out, and this president said, no, he's staying, and now this president's gone. So Gus Malzahn has no supporters in the room. You better win. I mean, 8-5 doesn't cut it. I mean, how high are the flames for Gus Malzahn right now?
Yeah, hottest in the SEC, no doubt. I wouldn't say hottest in the country because Clay Helton still exists at USC, but that's not exactly good company to be in. So, yeah, I mean, new AD, Alan Green, has been there for a little while, but certainly didn't hire Gus Malzahn. So anytime you have a new AD, in addition to now a new president, if you're any coach, you got to be looking around going, well, these aren't my bosses. Like, these aren't the guys who hired me. So what's the deal right now? But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Gus Malzahn, and I think what was really concerning last year for people around that program, is that, you know, his baby, his offense, the thing he's known for, was just awful. And, you know, I think you won't accept if you have some lulls, you know, here and there. But if you have an offense that's that bad, coming from a guy who quite literally wrote a book on the hurry-up, up-tempo, no-huddle offense, then that's concerning, especially considering you had an established quarterback in Jarrett Stidham. So it's definitely hot. And I think you look at Auburn's schedule, especially early, a lot like the 2016 season when he's on the hot seat. He had to beat LSU at the end of September to keep his job. But, you know, that September had Clemson, it had Texas A&M, and had LSU. This year he's got Oregon, he's got Mississippi State, he's got Texas A&M, and then October, early October, he's got Florida. So if they don't figure out their offensive line, they don't figure out their quarterback situation, you know, you could be talking midseason Gus Malzahn being in some major, major trouble. So he's certainly on the hottest seat in the SEC. I don't think there's any question about that. And really, the situation from a roster standpoint and from a schedule standpoint don't do him any favors. So it'll be quite an interesting month and a half start to the season, especially if they don't get off to a good start against Oregon and Jerry World.
Yeah. Now, the two teams that obviously lead both of these sides, we just mentioned them early, Georgia and Alabama. Georgia feels like, and you mentioned this, they're still ascending. I think Jake Fromm is one of the top quarterbacks that's going to come out of the league and go into the NFL next season. But Alabama's, there's some noise that they lost too much, and then Nick Saban's got to rebuild, and it might not be as smooth as a lot of people have thought in previous years. That's bunk, right? That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's nonsense. That's total nonsense. They'll be just fine. Now, I mean, yeah, there are some issues. I don't think people really understood, and I don't think they let it be known just kind of how dysfunctional that coaching staff was, you know, the middle, the end of last year. I don't think they let on how injured Tua Tagovailoa was, you know, from the beginning of November on. So let's not kid ourselves. They're not invincible, obviously. Clemson proved that. And you know, they certainly aren't invincible within the confines of the SEC either. I mean, even though Georgia lost to them last year and the year prior to that, they still had they outplayed them for 52 minutes each time, right? So there are some issues, and I think that they felt like they addressed them, specifically with the coaching staff and a lot of coaching staff turnover, especially in terms of experience. I think they felt last year they had to go a little bit younger, a little less experienced in terms of X's and O's to try to keep pace in recruiting, and that backfired on them.
Yeah.
So a step back for Alabama to me is way different than other schools. You know, a step back for them is being tested all the way to the final game of the season and still playing for an SEC West title at the end of the season. If you're doing that, you're still in the national championship hunt, and then that's not changing at Alabama anytime soon. Although obviously they do have things to address, and quite honestly, I think 48 hours after they got smoked by Clemson, Nick Saban was probably smiling year to year because he has that to motivate this team for an entire offseason, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Hey, Barrett, final thing for me, and it's Barrett Salee, CBS Sports College Football writer with us here on Tiki and Tierney, really focusing in on the SEC Media Week here, premier conference in the country. It is obviously fluid. Guys can work their way up the draft board, work their way down based on how they play. But if I asked you right now, just as a nice appetizer to the audience, as we, you know, before we really start digging into mocks, how many players in the SEC right now are, say, top 10, top 15 pick material on paper going into the season?
Top 10, top 15. Whew, buddy. I'd say probably 4 or 5 right now are that caliber, and that is without knowing, you know, who this year's Quinnen Williams was, because no one would have said Quinnen Williams would be that guy, you know, this time, you know, a year ago. So, you know, I think you're looking at Tua, Jake Fromm. Andrew Thomas would be in that mix as well, the offensive lineman from Georgia. You might see somebody else from like Raekwon Davis from Alabama, Rashad Lawrence from LSU, DeAndre Swift from Georgia, Derek Brown from Auburn, the defensive lineman. I mean, they're loaded. So I'd say probably 4 or 5 at least, top 10, top 15.
Okay.
And that, again, is well, without even knowing who's going to be the random dude who steps up and becomes a star this year.
So about a third,
yeah,
as per usual.
Yeah, Barrett.
Par for the course, right, guys?
Hey, yep. Barrett, last one for me, and I know this was mentioned yesterday as well, the strength of schedule issue in the SEC. Alabama plays Western Carolina, the penultimate game of the season. Western Carolina, were they going to do something about this?
No, they're not. The SEC won't, and I mean, if I'm in the SEC office, I wouldn't either, because it hasn't come back to haunt them yet. You know, so until it haunts them, they're not going to do anything about it. Now, personally, I certainly would, just from an you know, outsider standpoint, and it's a really easy fix. I mean, you don't have to go to a 9-game conference schedule to fix it, although that's kind of the alternative people have proposed. The easy thing to do is just say, hey, look, the week before rivalry weekend, that is a mandatory conference game week. Because, I mean, the thing about not only that week, the SEC East race is almost completely over by the time you get to mid-November, because 4 of those teams have out-of-conference rivalries on the final week of the regular season. So it needs to change. It won't change until it becomes a problem for the SEC and its teams. And an easy fix, if they're not going to go to 9 conference games, is just to make that week a conference game-only week. And let's be honest, as employees of CBS, that's more content for us, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Hey, listen.
If it's selfish, it works.
And watch out for those catamounts. They're dangerous. Western Carolina catamounts.
That's right.
All right, man. We'll be reading you a lot. We'll be talking a lot. Good stuff, Barrett Salee. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Wood.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.